Tonight, we're going to share this story together. We're going to tell the story together. During the night, as we go on, our children will bring up different pieces to our nativity that's rather empty right now. And they will bring the pieces of the people that were there on that night that Christ came. Our teenagers are going to read the words of Scripture that tell the story of a God who is faithful, a God who keeps his promises. And we're going to sing together the songs of the faith, declaring to one another that our God is good and our God is love. And we are going to end the night holding the light of Jesus in our hands and in our hearts as we remember the light has come into the world and we have reason to rejoice. And so whatever place you're in as you come tonight, if you've been running around like crazy this season or even just today, I invite you to take a deep breath and to lean in and to open your heart, because Jesus Christ is here. And he is worthy of being adored, and he will meet us as we come to meet him in this place. Hear these words from John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but so the world might be saved through him. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus Christ, on this Christmas Eve night, we open our hearts up to you once again. And the first words that can come out of our mouths are just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you would love us so much, that you would come to be with us. Thank you that you would love us so much, that you would be a God who is for us, that you would be a God who moves in love and not in condemnation, that you would be a God who makes yourself at home in our messy places, bringing the gift of your hope and your peace and your joy and your love. Tonight we celebrate that we have a God who really has come, and we have a Jesus who is coming again. And as our hearts wait for that moment, your Spirit is here with us. Thank you that we are not alone. Thank you that we have reason to rejoice, and that reason is you, Jesus. So tonight, could everything that we do in this place show that we are here to adore you? And would you open our hearts to receive your love, perhaps even more than ever before? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we turn our hearts to reflect on these words that we have heard, would your Spirit move freely among us, helping us this Christmas Eve hear what it is that you want us to hear? And so you might help us be who it is that you want us to be. And so you might help us do what it is that you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know what politicians never say when they are running for office? I'm running for a very specific group of people. No. They always say, I'm the candidate who is for all the people. I have everyone's best interest in mind. That's what they say, right? And then they get into office, and it doesn't take very long before we see what's true. When they said all, more times than not, they meant some. For many years, much of the ancient Near Eastern world wondered if the God of Israel, Yahweh, might be kind of like one of our politicians. Way back in Genesis 12, when the story just begins, and God first begins to make this unique people that are going to represent him in the world, he tells Abraham, I will bless you, and so that you can bless everyone. I am a God for all the people. And that sounded really good, but as time went on, the people of Israel seemed to really cling to that first part of the promise, I'll bless you. And they kind of had a hard time remembering the second part, and so that you will bless everyone. Over time, the different practices and the ideologies of God's people showed the world that this God might just be like all the other leaders around, saying they're for everyone, but really they're just kind of for some. A picture of this can kind of be seen in the layout of the temple. The temple that stood right there smack dab in the center of Jerusalem on that night that Jesus was born, just a few miles away in Bethlehem. The temple was massive and it was beautiful. And to the Jewish people, it told an even greater truth, and that was that God is with us. Right here in the center of our society is this place where the living God actually dwells. And they say, everyone, come and see. God is here in Israel. Everyone, come and behold this God. And so people would come from all over. They would come to this holy place and to encounter this holy God. And here's what they would find when they got there. Everyone could enter the first gates. And when they got into those first gates, they found this massive courtyard that surrounded the innermost part of the temple. This massive courtyard was known as the Gentiles' courtyard. Any foreigner could hang out there. Anyone who wasn't of Jewish descent, they were welcome to come and behold that God is here for everyone. You just can't get any closer than this courtyard that you're in right here. There was this 4.5-foot wall that was surrounding the inner courts of the temple between that Gentiles courtyard and the next level of entry where God really dwelt a little bit deeper inside. And along this 4.5-foot wall, there were 13 stone slabs nailed up all around it. And they had inscriptions on them in Greek and in Latin so everybody could read them. And it told the foreigners never to dare cross this barrier. Archaeologists have discovered two of these such signs. And they say on them, no foreigner is allowed to enter within the balustrade surrounding the sanctuary of the court. Whoever is caught will be personally responsible for ensuing death. So the message, yes, God is for everyone, but God is especially for those who were born to the right families, those who were born to the right race. God is especially for those who were pure enough to come to him. But the Gentiles, they came anyway to that temple, and they came in hordes. So maybe they couldn't get super close to God, but to be in the vicinity, that was gift enough, they told themselves. And so they came. The Jewish people could get a little bit farther into the depths of the temple. If you were Jewish, you could walk through the gate that is called Beautiful. And when you walk through this gate, the first thing you would find was the women's court. So Jewish women could get closer to God's full presence than the Gentiles, but there's still a gate and a courtyard and a gate and a curtain removed from being right there with God. And so the message, God is for everyone, but those who get to be super close to him need to be the right gender. Still the women came. In droves they came. You go a little farther into the temple through the gate called Nicanor, and now you're getting really close to the Holy of Holies, that place where God's presence dwells. Only ritually pure Jewish men are allowed to go through this gate. So only Jews, only men, and only the pure. That meant that those with certain skin diseases or some kind of bodily discharge, they couldn't get close. So even if your heritage is right and your gender is right, if your body's not right, you can't get any closer to the presence of God than the women and the foreigners. The message, again, God is for everyone, but God is especially close to those who have it all together. Those who are clean and those who are healthy, those who carry no shame, those who carry no defect. From there, you're like, isn't this Christmas? We're getting there. From there, going even closer to God's presence, there are the priests. Those are the ones who are born in the right line, set apart from day one to be holy. And of all the priests, there's the high priest, the one who is the most holy of all of the people. This is the only one who got to pass through the massive curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else. And in that Holy of Holies, that special room, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And on the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, it was believed that that is the spot where the full presence of Yahweh dwelt. The high priest had to go through all of the purification rituals on behalf of himself first, and then on behalf of the entire nation of Israel before he could enter that special room. And he only got to go into God's presence one time a year. And even when he went in, they would tie a rope to his ankle in case he was struck dead in the presence of God so they could pull him out without entering and being slain themselves. God's for everyone, the temple said. And yet, he's especially for a few who are very special. He's especially for the few who are really called and really righteous and really religious. And he really meets with them once a year at best. Now, this wasn't the heart of our God. If we start the story at the very beginning, we see that from the time of the Garden of Eden, God had shown clearly that his heart has always been to dwell among his people. The entire message of Scripture is God speaking through the law and God speaking through the prophets and saying in any way God can think to say, I just want to dwell with my children, with all of my children. But these gates and these walls and these inner courts and these outer courts, these were put up by a people who could not imagine that a God who was for them could also be a God who was for everyone. God with us means God's with all of us. And so there was a real day in history when God decides to do something new about this. Something that's not going to need a temple or certain picked out people to show his heart to the world. This is something that God is going to take upon himself. To say, this is what I meant when I said I will dwell with my people. There's a real day in history when God left that temple. He was never really stuck to the temple anyway. And he entered a womb. God made his home on earth, his first home, in a woman of all people. Those walls that said only men got to be this close to God. They came crumbling down when the angel Gabriel told Mary, you will conceive a son and he's God's son and you will carry him in the deepest part of your being for 9 months. And you will hold him in your arms and you will raise him in your home and you will carry him in your heart. Emmanuel, God with us, means God is with all of us. And the father of that boy, Joseph, a Jewish man, but not a priest by any means. He's a carpenter working in the family business in this nothing town of Nazareth. He wasn't born into the most set apart line. He was very ordinary. In the temple, he could go a bit farther than Mary, but he could not go as far as his uncle-in-law Zechariah could have gone. And yet, the priest Zechariah, he's not in that room the night that Jesus is born. There's no priest there at all. Joseph is the first man that gets to hold that baby. He's probably the one who cuts the umbilical cord and releases Jesus, God with us, into the world. An ordinary man, no priest at all. Joseph tells us that when God says he's coming to be with us, he's coming to be with all of us. When Jesus is ready to be born, You know the story. There's no room for his family in the inn or in the guest room of a packed out town, a packed out house. And so they end up out back or downstairs, wherever the animals are kept. Could be a basement, could be a cave. The Son of God. He's not born into the holiest place only to be touched by those who have passed through all of the ritual cleansings, who have washed their hands and washed their bodies and masked up their bad breath. Only accessible to those who come in squeaky clean inside and out. He is literally born on a dirt floor and laid in a feeding trough. And saying in every way, no one is too dirty to get to me. Not too dirty on the outside, and not too dirty on the inside. Jesus could have just as easily shown up for that first grand appearance in the inner courts of the temple, appearing as the next high priest, religious and righteous to a T. But he chose to appear as a baby, covered in blood and bodily fluids. The very stuff that the temple rules said was too unclean to get close to God. Jesus was covered in it. Wrapped in the cloths that are laid aside for baby lambs. No rope. Blood, dirt, barn blankets. Nothing. No place. No one will be too dirty or too messy or will have lived too much life to be able to get close to the living God. God shows up in the mess, takes the mess upon himself, saying Emmanuel, God with us, means God is with all of us. Do you know who else would have been near when Jesus made his grand entry into our world? Think about it. The other folks who there wasn't any room for in the main house. The others who would have gotten to town late. Or those who weren't really worth rearranging the furniture for. The black sheep of the family. The ones who never really felt welcome at their own home in the first place. The marginalized folks would have been out there, the ones that society never made much room for, the poor, the outcast, the minorities. They would have been neighbors to Jesus on the night that he was born. And their presence in his midst tells us when God says, this is Emmanuel, God with us. That means God is with all of us. The first to get the announcement, shepherds in the fields at night, poor men, uneducated men, those who are awake when everyone else is sleeping. God's telling us his presence is not only going to be for the privileged or the gifted or those raised up in church. He will go out and he will find those who think they are completely unworthy of being in the same room as the living God. And he will say to them, you must come because you've got an invitation to have front row seats to see God in his appearance. Because when God says, Emmanuel, God with us is here, God means all of us. A while later in the story, some stargazers from the east make their way to Jesus. These are Gentile pagans, and they are soon to be in the presence of this child, closer to the living God than the greatest priest of Israel ever got to be. And with the appearance of the Magi, the entire idea of the Gentile court collapses as these foreigners bow down and adore this holy child. When God says Emmanuel has come and he is with us, God means all of us, religious or not, citizens and foreigners, Arabs and Jews and Persians, and maybe even Americans too, all of us. The Holy of Holies is now among all the people, God making his home in all of our homes. Who gets to be in the full presence of the living God when Christ comes to earth? Who is worthy enough? Who is able enough? Who is invited to be in that place? Gentiles and Jews, righteous and unrighteous, rich and poor, insiders and outsiders, clean and unclean, worshipers and doubters, curious and the accidental passerbys, those who felt worthy and those who felt totally unworthy, the joyful and the grief-filled, those with the past, everyone with a future. And who gets to welcome Christ's presence to our world this Christmas Eve night? Who is able? Who of us can stand in that place? His story tells us any whose hearts are simply open to see him, to behold him, and to come and be near him. Any who want to come and adore him. Any who want to come and love him. God says, my name will be Emmanuel, for I am with you. And when God says he is with us, he means all of us. If you just want to be with him, our God has come to be with you. And the way that Christ comes then tells us that there's no longer any need for gatekeepers in God's kingdom. There was a temple that was full of gates and religious gatekeepers, those who stood at the gates and determined who got to get closer to God and who got to get closer and who had to stay at a distance. That was in the temple. Jesus wasn't born there. He could have been. He wasn't. Instead, he was born in a room with an open door. And any who wanted to be with him that night could just come on in and be with him. No longer a need for religious gatekeepers. Jesus can handle that. Christmas tells us loud and clear, Christ will come where he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and among whichever people he wants. And so none of us need build up walls or hammer up signs saying who's the most welcome to get the closest to God's heart and God's presence. No, we can save that energy because at Christmas, Jesus tore those signs down saying, I will make my home among all the people. I will move smack dab into their neighborhoods. And so we don't have to protect him, and we don't have to defend him, and we don't have to make sure only the right ones make it to him. We need only let Christ into the courtyard of our lives. We need only open the gates of our hearts to him. And we need only let others know that they can do the same thing. No matter how you feel this Christmas, worthy or unworthy, hopeful or fearful, energized or weary, religious or not so much, curious or doubting, celebrating or grieving, Christ came to be with you. He came to be with me, right where we are, exactly how we are.
Amen. Amen.
We just let him in. Emmanuel has come, and that is God with us. And when we say God with us, we mean God with all of us. Amen. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. May we all open our hearts to you, to welcome you once again, to come into our lives, to be our King, to be our Lord, to be our Savior. to grow your love in us until everyone sees that you love them too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.